and in each of our hearts. Amen. The word that Linda just shared is an important one for us. Particularly important is what she spoke about how our hearts are so easily captured by the culture and how it desires our allegiance. And we are in the unenviable position of being part of a denomination whose heart has been captured by the culture and has given it its allegiance. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And this is going to present for us, in the time not far ahead, considerable risk, danger, and opportunity. And we face this with two things true for us. One is that this is a congregation which I believe needs to be growing and needs space to be growing. Though this is a Labor Day and we tend to be lighter on Labor Days everywhere in the church, which I've never understood quite, because everybody's traveling and theoretically is visiting a church in another town. But yet somehow on Labor Day Sunday, all churches have less attendance. So I suspect that not everybody is visiting somewhere else or here. I was praying the other morning early about what I should preach on this morning. Every now and then when I pray, the Lord gives me a word or a scripture or a series of words to pray about. And this time it was the word coherence. I'm sorry, wrong word, related word. Cohesion. Mess up my own sermon here. I guess I'm the most able to do that. Cohesion, which is a word that I know. I probably haven't used it since chemistry in college. And I went to the Oxford English Dictionary to look it up because I felt somehow that there was something important. And the root of it is basically to gather together in action, or to be joined together, to be glued together, if you would, to be yoked together, to cohere in a common bond is the simplest way to think of it. And as I reflected on that, and as I looked at both the scriptures for today and the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, I realized that the stand which this church has taken and been quite vocal about, both within its diocese and in its denomination, is one which has not gone unnoticed by the opposition. This church, as a congregation, has contributed $0 to this diocese for the last 2 or 3 years. We have contributed money from this church into ministries within the diocese that we believed were God-honoring and appropriate. But no money has gone from this church directly into diocesan coffers for at least 2 years. 2.5 years, probably. And this is a topic which is discussed at the standing committee of this diocese. This church and its pledge are discussed there. Read it in the minutes. We live in a diocese which has voluntary giving. There isn't an apportionment or an assessment which we're required to make. The voluntary giving, and voluntary includes zero. and zero is what we have prayerfully chosen. And we have been engaged with the diocese and with the national church on the issues that confront the church in a very clear and prayerful and, I believe, honorable and loving way. We have not spoken a harsh word, but we have not spoken a compromising word either. We have said clearly that we believe that both this diocese and the national church have chosen a direction which is in contradiction to Scripture, to 2,000 years of history of the Christian Church, 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian tradition, in our common understanding of what God's counsel for us is in the way that we live. So simultaneously, we have, I believe, God's direction to grow. We have growth that we have experienced and which we will continue to experience. We have the restriction of the size of these four walls in our ability to gather people together in worship and need to find worship facility beyond what it is that we have. And we have a diocese and a national church with which we are at odds in a significant way. And in fact, as you've heard in the bulletin and you've heard announced, we have four opportunities that we've set up for members of this congregation to come and be fully informed in all of the foundations of all that's going on, its possible consequences for us and for the communion worldwide. Two of those have passed, two are left. We've set them at different times and different days with the hope that every single member of this congregation and everyone who attends regularly but who is not a member yet might come to one of those and be fully informed. We've had perhaps 25 people so far who have come to the first two. There are two left, one next Sunday morning at 8 in the parish house and another, it's either the following Wednesday or the Wednesday after that. The sign-ups are on the wall out there. I beg you, please, set aside time to come to one of them.
Right. The last one is Sunday after the service.
I'm so completely confused. It's against the back wall in the lobby there are the correct times. I'll be there. Even though I'm confused about date and time. Now, the reason I believe this word cohesion is important is because in order for this body of Christ to survive the next year or the next year and a little bit, there must be among us extraordinary cohesion. There must be between us, one to the other, and in this entire body, extraordinary faithfulness to each other. Extraordinary willingness to overcome obstacles in our own faith, in our relationships with one another. A day doesn't pass that some of us are not unhappy with others of us. It's the human condition. The question is, how do we respond to that as believers? How do we respond to that as members of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that none of us are expendable. That none of us can say to the other, I don't need you. And that even if I don't particularly want to be a toe, and I happen to be an ear, that it is inappropriate for me to say to the toe, I don't need you. Or it to me, I don't need you. And in fact, I would go further and say, if my toe is suffering disease, the appropriate response is to try to heal that disease. For the whole body to focus on the healing of the disease in that toe, rather than just lop it off because there's disease. Now, sometimes it actually comes to that. But the first response always should be for healing. The first response always should be to move, to heal, and to care for. 1 Corinthians 13. I heard this read yesterday at a wedding service that I was privileged to be able to officiate at. And I realized that when 1 Corinthians 13 is read, almost universally, this has become the sole property of a husband and wife being joined, speaking these words to each other, or having these words spoken about the relationship one to the other. And in marriage, it is absolutely appropriate. But somehow we've conceded this chapter of 1 Corinthians to weddings. And what it ought to do is inform every one of us at every moment of our Christian life, both in our interaction with the world and with each other as believers. Having said that, let me read it. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul is speaking. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind and hard. Paul doesn't say that, but it's there in both of those words, patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Anybody else failing this test word by word? It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Oops. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Oops. I got a bag full of them. Anybody else? I mean, they go back 30, 40 years. They're still in the bag. Well, actually, I've confessed them. But every now and then I get that bag out again and look in it. Anybody else do that? It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Oh, man. Never loses faith. Oh, man. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I got to tell you, folks, I'm going to keep reading this. We're not done yet. But in the time ahead of us, that sentence is going to prove very difficult to live. And unless we have faith for each other, and unless we have willingness to love each other, even when you're irritable and bearing a grudge, or when I'm irritable and bearing a grudge, if we do not persist through that with kindness and patience, I'm not saying pretend it's not there. The last thing we need here is a church with Sunday faces, where when things are rotten, people pretend everything's okay. That's death. That's the very hypocrisy that angered Jesus most. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. That's 1 Corinthians 13:7. It's going to prove to be an important verse for us. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Folks, we need this word living in our hearts. We need this word as we relate to each other in worship, in study, in teaching, in leading, in being led. We need this word in our heart as we struggle to know God's heart, and as others come against us, which I believe that they will. What the Lord promises is His presence with us by the Spirit. That's why the chapter before this is on the gifts of the Spirit. The chapter following it is on the gifts of the Spirit. The chapter which provides the bridge between the two is how it is that we love each other, how it is that we cohere, how it is that we remain faithful to each other, even when irritable, even when anger rises, even when disagreement appears, even when one of us feels like stomping out, even in any of these circumstances. What God desires from us is the cohesion, which must be the heart of the body of Christ, the way that all the parts love and honor and edify each other. And if we do that, it will not matter if the gates of hell are raised against us, because Jesus, by the Spirit, will prevail even there. And so, folks, be armed for battle. Put on the whole armor of God, which we heard read in Ephesians 6 today. Lift the sword, which is the Word of God, and which the Spirit actually raises on our behalf. That's what it says in Ephesians 6. But we need to be together. We need to hold together. We need to pray together. We need to pray for each other and ourselves, that the struggle which Satan desires to see in this body of Christ would be vanquished again and again and again by our readiness to pray and to invite God's Spirit and to take these words in 1 Corinthians 13 to heart every day, as we struggle together to stand true to God's Word in a culture and now a church which sadly does not take them seriously, which sets them aside easily, which shows its allegiance to the culture and its values rather than the values at the heart of God. Amen.